Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Far in the far wing. 16 to shoot. Garner. Three ball. Bingo! Penn State leads 37-11.
Steve, that ties Pete Lisicki's all-time three-point mark now. That's four in the game for Shep.
Loose on the floor, batted ahead to Carr, off to Stevens. Far wing, open three, Shep Carter, go! He's the all-time three-point leader for Penn State with 333.
33 has 333 now, my man.
Reeves into the front court now. 5:26.
A little more time off the clock.
Exactly. It's a lead 71-50. Here wing Garner. Garner alley-oop, Reeves slam for Penn State! 73-50 as an exclamation point rains down from the Garden.
You know, we definitely made shots, but I think it was our defense. I thought our defense was really good. I thought they looked really disjointed. We took them out of rhythm. We took them out of their sets and what they wanted to do. And it's funny. You watch them on film. They're as quick as we thought, but so are we. So that's exciting to me that we were able to, again, win another game, 6 out of 7 without Mike Watkins. John is giving us great minutes. Julian gave us great minutes. Obviously, Shep enjoys playing here. But I thought it was a total team effort on the defensive end. Gave up a couple rebounds, which I'm not too pleased about. We got to do a better job against Utah on Thursday night. But for the most part, really complete game. Tony sets the pace. Nice pace, good tempo. We went to him early. I thought we had a little bit of a mismatch inside. Obviously, you get to see them at that dinner, so you see them on the roster. It says 6'4", 6'5", and then you really see them, and they're like 6'2", 6'3". So I just felt like Tony had a mismatch in the post. We went to that early. We went to it often. We were able to make plays. But again, it goes back to our defense and rebounding. I think we were able to get really good shots off our defense. I thought we really shared the ball. We got it to the open guy. And then we knew they were making 8.5, close to 8.5 threes coming into this game. So I thought we did a good job of guarding the three for the most part.
Patrick Chambers last night as the Nittany Lions won their way to the NIT Championship game to take on Utah tomorrow night at 7 o'clock airtime, set for 6:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, streaming live on WKOK.com, and, of course, on the Penn State Sports Network. All started on the defensive end last night for Penn State as they were able to get the job done there defensively. Talked about Mississippi State. You could tell right away. You could just tell right away that the three-point shooting that we saw at Baylor and at Louisville was not there last night. Penn State defended it. They rushed it. And it made a big difference last night. And I think Josh Reeves, being on the point guard, Lamar Peters, made a big difference. Because suddenly, yeah, it just cut off the passing lanes. It cut off the driving ability. And it changed his decision-making last night. That was one of the big moves. I thought John Herrera played well again last night. And then the obvious, you know, what Shep did, what Tony did, what Lamar did. So 7 o'clock tomorrow night and 6:30 the airtime. We're going to have Lisa Byington on the show today. Worked with CBS-TBS during the postseason on the sideline. But also has been a trailblazer. Football play-by-play on BTN, basketball play-by-play on BTN. We'll talk to Lisa about that and much more, get her thoughts on the Final Four coming up since she's seen these teams up close, watch them practice and shoot arounds and things like that, as well as games. We'll talk to her at 4:06. Got Andrew Callahan today as well on the show. Sean, welcome. Great to have you back.
Yeah, great to be back, and great that you're going to stay in New York City for a little while longer. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, no, I've been contacted by several of the political campaigns here about, you know, how to vote in some of the primaries. I'm like, I don't live here. You know. So, yeah, tonight's dinner, Dick Girardi set up the dinner tonight. We're at Orso tonight. So it's going to be Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, myself, and down the stretch they come, Dave Johnson.
Love it.
The great race, yeah, horse race announcer. Legend. Dave's had dinner with us before, but that's tonight's dinner. I'm all set. This morning was I don't think I got back here until, I don't know, 1:15 last night? Something like that. So 1:15 got back, got some sleep. You know, the worked on the game for tomorrow. I'm all set.
I'd zipped you a post-game text. I think I got it a little after 12:30. I figured by that point, he's either riding shotgun or just checked into the room. So
no. We got back about. It just takes a while to do things. For example, because there's so much media that has to take place during the course of something like this. Remember, the NCAA runs this tournament, so they run it. So you have to go by all the rules. For example, at Penn State, we're playing in a regional right now, an NCAA regional. It's the exact same rules.
Well, it's like you had mentioned last night on the post game on the network. It was great that Pat jumped on for a quick 2 or 3 minutes because he was the first to do a post game press conference since Penn State won.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, we sort of stole that moment.
I heard you say twice, no less than twice. We'll keep it here.
We might get him, and that's why we did. And he did something on the court with Chris Budden last night, and so I looked over and I kind of waved to come on over. Well, okay, they came on over, and it worked out really well last night. So we circumvented just a bit, but again, with all due respect to the NCAA, which of course has the contract over all of this. There's also a contract with this is Penn State's network. So the coach is supposed to be on this too. The fans deserve to hear what he has to say after something like that. And so we got him on as quickly as possible. And we got him on before most everybody went to bed. So, and there's a Billy Joel concert in there tonight. So they had to, at one point last night, they pulled the plug. I pulled the plug last night. We're off the air. Now, it happened during a commercial break, so people wouldn't know that we were doing this. Okay? I'm sorry. And so a lot of people probably didn't know that we were off. Also, we looked over. We're listening to the commercials, whatever, talking about, hey, we have two more segments to go. And Jeff said, hey, it's going to be this highlight. It's going to be that highlight. And, okay, great. And all of a sudden, I said, Jeff, I don't hear anything. He goes, and he looks over because what sends the broadcast to Jefferson City, okay, has a battery in it. All right. Well, that's still registering because the battery's on. I said, Jeff, the board's not on. He says, it turned out they unplugged the whole press row. All right. And the guy looks over and goes, what? What? What do you mean, what?
The game is over, but we're not.
Well, again, they have to break everything apart.
Yeah.
Right, because Billy Joel's in there tonight.
Yeah. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it is a quick turnaround. I mean, look, those guys work hard. But when you're in New York City, you have a $1 billion building, because they put $1 billion into that building. You've got to have that building active as many nights as possible. Right? So... tonight is like, no, it's okay. We can take a night off. No, Billy Joel. I think I said in the post game. I think this is Billy Joel's 7,000th concert here, isn't it? some number like that.
Yeah, his residency has been going on for a couple of years now. And, he keeps selling out. And what a great run.
You have the banners up for the Rangers and the Knicks. And all the retired numbers are up for the Rangers and the Knicks. But there are two other banners up there for Elton John and one for Billy Joel for the number of concerts they've had at Madison Square Garden. Well, believe me, residency? Yes. He's got residency. My goodness.
Shep Garner, he had residency in there last night. Oh, man.
Shep's been great in there. He's, 20 points a game there in the course of his career. He's got one more coming up tomorrow night. And that will be at at 7 o'clock. We'll be on at 6:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, Billy Joel tonight, and then back in the house tomorrow night, Flava Flav, to catch his fam one more time on the court.
Yeah, that'll be something. I mean, Utah's a good team. I think that when I watched Utah play St. Mary's in the overtime game, and I watched all of that game, and obviously I was there last night courtside, and I watched all of that game. They play a lot of 2-3 zone. Okay? Penn State's going to have to find some shots on the outside with ball movement, get that zone moving, but also the ability to get the ball to Lamar Stevens or Josh Reeves around the foul line area. That really disrupts zones. And once in a while, they play man-to-man, but mostly zone. So that's where they're going to have to go at it. Bibbins, the point guard, to be honest with you, Bibbins only like 5'8". Grad transfer out of Long Beach State. He's the heart and soul as to what they do. It's been amazing because he's only been there 1 year, but you can tell it's his team. This is an older team. This is one of those older teams trying to win the NIT, as opposed to a team like Penn State that's a younger team making the turn to being an older team. I mean, that's where Penn State is right now. They're right in that turn. And they are an older team trying to win it. And Bibbins is the guy that runs the show. And by the way, at the free throw line, he was 12 of 12 last night. He's hit 33 of his last 34. Bearfield's at, you know, so he's a transfer out of Long Beach State. Bearfield's a transfer out of SMU. David Collette inside, the 6'10 guy, is a good finisher around the basket, decent rebounder. But we don't know what the status is of Jace Johnson, who's been critical for them coming off the bench. He hurt his ankle in practice on Monday and didn't play last night. And Larry Kostoyak was very, I would say, non-committal on what's going to happen with his ability to play in the game tomorrow. We'll have to see. He went with an 8-man rotation last night. And look, at this time of the year, you can do that. You can short your bench left and right this time of the year because the commercial breaks are so long. It's, you know, me. I always think of the fans with that. You know, we always have stuff we can say and fill. It's no big deal, all right? I mean, it never is a big deal. But for a fan, I mean, I always look around and think, well, you know, the fans got to sit here and do this. I wish what they would do, and I've seen this happen at one place, where when they get to a commercial break, they put up on the clock how long it is until the end of it. They run the clock backwards down to zero. That way everybody knows. Why not? You got to do more for fans that take the extra step to attend games. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. We're at the Marriott Marquis overlooking Times Square, right in the heart of it. Penn State basketball tomorrow night. Utah, 7 o'clock, NIT championship game. Penn State and Utah tomorrow night at 7. I'm beginning at 6:30. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Streaming live on WKOK.com and on the Penn State Sports Network. As we continue with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ever had a bad experience at a car dealer? You don't deserve that! Sunbury Motors Kia thinks you should be treated as great as possible, so they're celebrating March Badness! I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. March Badness is for anyone who may have not been treated like they were number one. Get 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serranos. 0% for 66 months on 2018 Kia Souls and Sedonas. And 0% for up to 60 months on 18 Kia Rios and Niros. All include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty on the highest-ranked brand in initial quality, according to J.D. Power, 2 years in a row. Plus, there's over 25 Kia-certified pre-owned vehicles on the lot. Price to move. There's no bad treatment at SMC during March Badness at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Financing offers available to qualified buyers through payment financing. In lieu of free, excludes Kia Stinger and Cadenza. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
All Mike, great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, next half hour. Lisa Byington from BTN, and also just worked the NCAA tournament with CBS and TBS. She'll be on at 4:06 today. Great to have you with us. You can call us at 1-800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. No show tomorrow. Sean, you can be honest. If you had the windows open, you probably could hear cheers up and down the valley. Seems every time we announce there's no show, it seems to bring with it a level of happiness.
Wait till next week.
That's right. But on Friday, we'll be back for the show on Friday.
Well, it's because your brother demanded it. So
that's right. In fact, I'm leaving here tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I'm leaving here Friday at 10:30. That's at least the schedule. We're going to leave 10:30, something like that. So I should be back in time. If not, you can have the suit in reserve. We've had a lot of requests.
Call to the bullpen. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, for example, you're already down 16-0, so let's just waste an arm. All right. So, I mean, the same concept. Doug Birdsong was there last night. Great to see Doug last night. Great to see Doug. And the just one quick thought on fans. They have got to do, and I'm talking about college football, college basketball, and I've talked about this before, but it's something that really has to be, it's got to be brought out and talked about. And that is, you got to do a better job for the fan in the arena and in the stadium. And this is not just, this is, I mean, schools don't have quite the latitude that people realize. Now, you've got to show, now last night at the Garden they showed replays on plays, which is great. You've got to show replays of everything in your stadium and in your arena. You have to give the fan the same experience they'd be getting at home. You've got to put a countdown clock down so the fans know the countdown to when the commercial's over, right? Just so they just kind of feel like at least they're being told what's going on. You need to mic the lead referee, right? The reason you need to mic the lead referee is so that they can announce when they go to a replay, to look at an F1 or to look at the balls out of bounds or whatever, okay, so that you know what they were looking at, okay, to let them know. In fact, they come over and they barely announce it coherently in the arena or the stadium as to what was being looked, you know, especially the arena. Or they'll go over and tell the TV people. Well, excuse me, okay? They don't take priority. The fans take priority. Then you tell the TV people. You all find out at once. You've got to let the fan know what's going on. I mean, these are progressive things. It's 2018 now. So if they're going to go over and look at an F1, right, make the announcement to everybody all at once. That way the fan in the arena knows and is not like guessing while the fan at home knows because they explained it to Jay Billis. All right, is there any reason Jay Billis should know before the paying public? They can find out all at the same time. Mic the ref up. Simple as that. Yeah, I mean, you got to make these extra steps to make it attractive to go someplace. I mean, that's just me. You got to think of the fans more and more and more. You can't leave it so there's an excuse not to go.
I think of hockey. I mean, you don't hear the referee on the mic all that much, but just enough when you need it, whether they need to replay, whether it's a goal or not a goal, or they, you know, let you know what player got this penalty for how long.
Right, exactly.
Just enough.
Right, and they should have the ability, you know, especially when they go, it's, you know, look, when they call a foul, it's fine. The public address announcer can take care of a foul. But when it's an F1 or maybe an F2 or there is no foul, right, or there's an out-of-bounds play where they're checking, let the referee explain it the way they do in football. That way everybody can find out at once, and the person who paid for the gas to drive there, the person that paid for the parking to get in there, the person that paid at the concessions, the person that paid for the tickets, the person that did all the extra stuff should never be the last person to find out what's going on in front of them. All right, Andrew Callahan next half hour. Penn State, Utah tomorrow night. Madison Square Garden is 7 on, beginning at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and streaming live on WKOK.com. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, right here in the heart of Times Square at the Marriott Marquis, looking straight down at Times Square. Penn State will play tomorrow night against Utah at Madison Square Garden for the NIT Championship. 7 o'clock, the tip-off, 6:30, the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Streaming live on WKOK.com. And, of course, on the Penn State Sports Network. All right. So let's get to this day in sports history. Then Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, will join us. And we'll talk with him about what we saw last night. But first of all, this day in sports history. 1945, the great Maurice Rocket Richard of the Montreal Canadiens became the first NHL player to score 50 goals in a season. He did so with 50 goals in 50 games. Oh, by the way, the guy that broke that record was Wayne Gretzky with 50 goals in 39 games. 1963, Sonny Werblin here in New York. Sonny Werblin, great promoter, takes over the New York Titans. And announces on this day that he's going to change the name from the New York Titans to the New York Jets. And then, by the way, 2 years later, signs Joe Namath. I mean, he understood the value of promotion. 1990, the great Jesse Owens received the Congressional Gold Medal from U.S. President George H.W. Bush. 1999 in Cuba, the Orioles beat the Cuban national team 3-2. It was the first time since the 1950s that a U.S. team had played in Cuba. 2002, Greco-Roman wrestler Rulon Gardner had his middle toe on his right foot amputated due to frostbite. He had been stranded overnight in Wyoming. It started back on February 14th, and they just were not able to save that toe, and they had amputated on this date in 2002. And that is this day in sports history. Last night, the Nittany Lion basketball team, impressive in beating Mississippi State. One thing, very quick note, going into the game, a concern, and this is something that I talked probably, Dick Girardi and I probably talked for about 45 minutes to an hour yesterday with Fran Fraschilla. Then Dick and I had a long talk with Patrick Chambers yesterday. The big concern going in was the length of Mississippi State and their athleticism, how athletic they are. Let me put it to you this way. When they got to the under seven timeout in the first quarter, which I think was about the 6 minute mark, so 4 minutes into the game, we went to a commercial break and Dick and I looked at each other and said, well, the athleticism part is off the table. Penn State was just as athletic as Mississippi State. That became apparent right away. And then that opened the door for a 24-point avalanche last night. 24 unanswered points. With that, we bring in Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports. Andrew, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. After watching them last night play against Mississippi State, what stuck out to you?
I think we got to start with the 24-0 run. Am I right?
That's one of the areas. Yeah, I mean, when you know, I think I referred to it on the air as an avalanche or something like that. So,
Yeah, it really was. You know, the thing that came to mind for me, of course, you know, is Madison Square Garden. We know that they thrive there. That game itself is never going to be placed in the discussions of the all-time, you know, great games or matches there. But that knockout blow was probably among the best that's ever been delivered in the Garden. I mean, Mississippi State was not only just off balance, it was on the floor, never picked itself up. They only won by 15, but for the most of the second half, they were up by 20. And just everything was working. I mean, defensively, it was locked down on the perimeter. They were able to bother their 2 6-foot-10 big men in there who have two very different body types. You got to give a lot of credit to John Hara. And just everything worked for them. You know, it helps when you're hitting threes, but to have the total package and then continue to push that through the second half to really never let off the gas, it was impressive all the way around.
What about the defensive part of it? Because I thought the 24-0 run, you know, it becomes obvious when you're raining down shots. But 24-0 means they didn't score either. What did you think of the defense?
Well, the rotations were really crisp. And Mississippi State, you know, is a very athletic, fast team, definitely the best they've seen in that department in the NIT so far. So you figured there'd be a little bit of an adjustment, and I wrote as much. You know, I thought this would be kind of an uglier defensive game. Mississippi State, another team that's in the top 50 of defensive efficiency. That wasn't the case at all on their part. I mean, but Penn State held up its end of the bargain, you know, because they were able to make up ground. I thought Jamari Wheeler played a very good game, as you'd expect from him on that end. But, you know, Shep Garner kept it up. Tony was good. And, you know, again, John Hara inside really did a nice job with his positioning, because he's given up a couple inches and many more pounds there, but you wouldn't have noticed it by his positioning and way he was able to push everyone around. And I mean, no one had a bad game on that end.
No, they actually played very well on that end of it. And I think that, yeah, I mean, look at, I mean, you're right about the rotations. I think that played out well. I also think there was one point in the first half where both Lamar Stevens and Josh Reeves went to the bench. So the defense suffered a little bit, but I thought they held the fort. What did you think about that?
Yeah, and I think that's important, too, because, again, I think Reeves had those two quick fouls, so he's your top perimeter defender, and you're looking at a couple of guards, one of whom was all-SEC second team, that are able to not only just stay in front of but deny to where they want to get to those favorite spots. I think Penn State, it was apparent that they used their about week of preparation very, very well, because Mississippi State was just never comfortable. And then, of course, when you're giving up as many threes as they were at the other end, it only compounds that frustration and leads to the run that Penn State went on. But it started there. You know, of course, there were a little bit of a blip in. Inevitably, there's going to be a pushback, which I think it was maybe a 6-0, maybe an 8-2 run there at the end of the first half. But by then, the damage had been done, and that was, you know, regardless of who was on the court for Penn State.
Yeah. All right. Now you look at what John Hara's been able to do. You know, there's so many benefits to playing. You know, suddenly, you know, if you're not in the NIT, you don't play Marquette. If you're not in the NIT, you don't play Notre Dame. If you're not in the NIT, you don't play Mississippi State. How much has this helped a young player like John Hara?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, I'm in the middle of writing a piece right now that's detailing why, honestly, in my mind, he and Shep Garner deserve the most credit of any player on the team for this run they've had since Mike Watkins went down. Because, you know, we forget about it now that it's been a month that Mike Watkins has not played for Penn State, but his impact really can't be marginalized. He's the second best player in this team when you look at it from an impact standpoint, top 30 in the country in defensive rebounding and block percentage and two-point shooting. You need to replace all of that. Shep's picked up a lot of that offensively, but John Hara's been there defensively. And you saw him, you know, most notably against Nebraska when he sees his minutes there and where he's missing a defensive assignment. You know, a lot of freshman mistakes that you'll expect. But he hangs around against Temple, gets that bucket to put up ahead late and a lead they never lost. He's able to hang in there against two very different teams in Notre Dame and Marquette that like to spread the floor and shoot threes. And then again, against Mississippi State, when you're dealing with 6'10", 6'11" guys who are experienced in top shot blockers, he's moving them around the court offensively and able to carve out enough space defensively to gobble up rebounds. You just really can't say enough about what he was able to push through early on in those mistakes to be where he's at today.
Tony Carr got off to a rough start in the NIT against Temple. You know, you go with a wide variety of reasons. What have you seen about his decision-making at both ends of the floor in the last three games?
You know, for him, it's always come back to just that poise and that calm, right? I mean, you notice it in his game. He's not particularly fast. He's not very quick. And I think in some ways, those have played to the strengths of his mental abilities. And you see that play out. You know, the most notable example is that dish to Josh Reeves at the end of the Ohio State game. You know, he's never lost that, even in their struggles earlier in the year, back in January, even as a freshman. He's played with that control. So for him, I think his decision-making's gotten better during the course of the year. I mean, the midseason criticism is about, is he taking too many shots? You know, to me, that all missed the point that Mike Watkins was either out with foul trouble or Josh Reeves wasn't there. So naturally, Tony's going to have to take more shots. Now that everybody's back, he's not only making the right decisions, but he's been even more efficient at doing so and hitting his shots or allowing others to. You saw it too with Shep Carter hit all those threes. It's because Tony's getting down into the paint, backing down his man, drawing help, and then he's firing cross court to where Shep's wide open. So, you know, it's a credit to him for not only passing the ball, but initiating that by drawing help and leaving Garner open. I mean, Tony's been at the top of his game, and when he's there, you know, he's one of the best players in the country.
Shep Garner obviously has had a great run here at the end. He's going to finish his career as the fifth all-time leading scorer in the history of Penn State basketball. But what about the dirty work part, defensively? How he sets screens to free up other people. What kind of example is that for younger players that when they see someone like that, that is considered to be, hey, he's just an outside presence, actually doing a lot of dirty work?
Right. Yeah, the thing that stuck out to me in the last couple of months, and we've heard about the behind-the-scenes leadership, and I asked Shep about this. I go, okay, what is leadership going to mean moving forward? You're in the NIT. It's going to be one and done for everyone else here on out. He goes, just leading by example. I got to be first in the gym. I could be the last one out. And you hear a lot of people say that, but when it's confirmed by, you know, the likes of Tony or Lamar or even Pat Chambers saying, no, he's really there. Everything has been going hard, whether in drills or they're going 5-on-5 in practice. And of course, we hear about that behind the scenes, but for me, what's been apparent even dating back before the last couple of months, his ball pressure is excellent defensively. And then, of course, takes an ability to stay in front of your man, but also just a will to do that. Whereas if you're taking a lot of the offensive load, defensively, you might not want to be or can even afford to be that engaged because you've only got so much energy. Nonetheless, Shep has been there up in the grill of every single man he's had to take this season. It's forced some steals, some turnovers, some taps, and then Penn State gets out in transition. I mean, that's been the best part of his game. You always knew he had the long-range shooting, but that ball pressure and the ability to force turnovers has been excellent.
What is your initial read, Andrew, on the matchup with Utah?
You know, I like Utah as a team. I just don't think they match up well with Penn State. And Penn State, you know, without Mike Watkins, has played the best as it has all season. So I think this is a game where, you know, I'd expect a smaller spread. I think for Penn State and Mississippi State, it was around 3 points. It should be a little bit bigger for Utah. But, you know, they're led by an undersized guard who I think, you know, if Penn State can get enough switches defensively, it can draw, you know, him into the post with 6'4", 6'5", Tony Carr. That's going to lead to the same openings you saw against the Bulldogs. And, you know, I think this is a game that Penn State will win going away, not to the extent of last night, but certainly a comfortable margin.
Andrew, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate your time very much, and as always, your analysis.
Thanks, Steve. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, and I will see him tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden here in New York. Penn State takes on Utah for the NIT Championship. And we will come back with more from Times Square in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Believe it or not, during the break, you'll be shocked to know that these two individuals that are hosting this show together did not talk sports during the course of the commercial break.
We were talking theater. Hard to believe.
We were talking two Renaissance guys here. That's right. We're Renaissance guys. Of course, everywhere you look here, theater, the Richard Rogers Theater is right next to the Marriott Marquis. It's right there. And, of course, that's where Hamilton is. You know, the Booth Theater's over here, the Schubert, the Majestic. I mean, it's all the theaters are around here. And Hamilton's an almost impossible ticket to get, unless you're the suit, you know.
No, that's the other door down the hall from him.
Seems to get into anything he wants. And I guess what they're Springsteen the show.
Yeah, Springsteen on Broadway. It premiered last fall, and
that's at the Kerr.
That's right. And it's going to be performing through this December. They've added an extra 80 shows. Yeah. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. So last night, in order to get to Shoot Around, the bus was parked on 45th. Well, Godfrey had to take the bus out. This just goes to Shoot Around. It took us 40 minutes to go to Shoot Around. That's why I walked back. We pull out onto 8th, had to go from 45th up to 48th, then make the right to go to 7th. So there's this huge crowd, of course, getting tickets because, of course, today's matinee day. It's Wednesday. And there's a huge crowd for tickets. And one of the players said, why are all those people out there? Somebody said, oh, they're getting Broadway tickets. And one of the players said, we think it was Nas, said, Broadway's overrated. So as I pointed out, we left 45th, we went up 8th, which means we're going away from Madison Square Garden, because all these streets are one-way streets. So we're going away from Madison Square Garden. Then he makes the right onto 48th, and then 7th. And so we're coming back down 7th, and Satchel Pierce says, and on your right, you'll see our hotel. So the players have been very loose during the course of this trip, which has been fun. Lisa Byington, next half hour. All right, Le'Veon Bell wants $17 million a year.
I'm not saying he's not worth every penny, but you got to draw the line. There's only so much money to go around to all those players.
This is where Darius Geis comes in. You know, other people can play this spot. I realize that Bell is an incredibly talented player, but $17 million, it's almost like you're begging to get out.
Well, it makes sense now that they don't have a new deal in place because, of course, the when he was getting the franchise tag, that was, what, 14-2, give or take? Yeah, if there's a difference between 13-5, 14-2, and if you can't hammer out a deal, something's up. Well, I guess now we know what's up. Yeah, he wants Antonio Brown money.
All right, well, here's the issue. And let's take it from Le'Veon Bell's point of view. Well, not from his point of view. Let's take it from where he is as a football player. Bryce Harper, now there's no salary cap in Major League Baseball. There are all sorts of wild numbers being speculated for Bryce Harper, right? For the Washington Nationals. I mean, wild numbers. There is no way on the planet an NFL team is giving him $17 million a year. No way. Jake Arrieta is getting, what, $30 million this year for the Phillies? $30 million for Jake Arrieta? Okay? And he performs once every 5 days. He doesn't pitch every game. Le'Veon Bell wants $17 million. There is no way in the planet he's going to get $17 million from any team in the NFL. No way. Now, he may get a long-term deal with the guaranteed money is whatever. Okay, that's fine. And I realize that let's be honest, the $17 million is also negotiating. You always negotiate, here's, boom, everybody goes, whoa, and here's our offer. And then you start to see if it's possible to find some center ground. Some in this city would have referred to it as the heart of the deal. All right. Or the art of the deal. I'm sorry, the art of the deal. And so, he's not out there. He's using the number, I want $17 million, I want to be paid like Antonio Brown. But unless they're delusional, there isn't a single person in his camp that thinks the Steelers are going to give him $17 million a year. And there's nobody, unless his camp is completely delusional, there's nobody in the NFL giving him $17 million a year. No way. So I see demands like that. And look, I feel it's a negotiating ploy. But who's he negotiating? Who are the Steelers negotiating against? Who? There's nobody out there that's going to give him $17 million a year. Okay? Deontay Freeman. All right? Deontay Freeman is the second highest running back, second highest paid running back in the NFL. And Bell's salary, if he's franchised at $14.5 million, that's the number, right? Is going to be 75% higher than Freeman. $6.2 million more. I mean, last season he got $12.1 million. There's nobody's going to give him $17 million. All right, we're going to make him a complete free agent. Is anybody going to give him $17 million?
Out of all the running backs in the top 10 that are highest paid, the first one that will become an unrestricted free agent 2019 will be Lev Bell.
He's your guy.
For one more year.
He's your guy. Maybe he won't come in until week 10. Which, by the way, I think under the rules he's allowed to do, right? Lisa Byington, next half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Ward.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.